I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello. This is the pilot for That Was Interesting with me, Craig Lambard. I'm not going to take up too much of your time before the podcast starts. This was just to say this is the pilot. I mentioned it in the beginning as well. The idea of it is the fact that I'll be in a room with an interesting person. With a topic to talk about. This week's going to be technology. In the room as well, I'm going to have one or two of my idiot friends, and their job is literally just to take the piss out of me. But again, they'll pipe in with some of their stories and some of their opinions on things as well. So we get a nice mixed opinion and stories on how people react to technology, for example, in this one. This week's is been recorded with Mr. Matt Shaw, he is one of my idiot friends, so he will be in it probably quite often, if not weekly. We'll see how that goes, but he's one of my idiot friends, so I didn't want to waste one of my epic guests that I've got kind of lined up on just the pilot. I've got lots of really cool people that we want to talk to and get involved in it, so I wanted to save them for when it's a little bit when it's an official one, you know. I'm gonna stop rambling now, but I will be back at the end just to kind of tell you how to get in contact with us, because I do want your feedback. This bit is where I would chuck in some intro music, so let me just put in some improv instead. How's about that? This is the bit where the intro music goes, but it's not ready yet, so this will have to do for now, and on with the show. Hello. It's me, Craig Lambard. I'm in Matt's house today with Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Craig.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. It's going to be fun doing this is basically the pilot-ish.
Pilot-ish, yeah.
Pilot-ish version of That Was Interesting.
I think it will be going up everywhere. Everybody will be able to download it. Everybody will be able to see it. We'll say that for now. Maybe I'll change my mind. But it is the pilot-ish.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be good.
I'm going to briefly describe slightly what's going on. So this podcast will be a case of me sitting around with my mates talking about things of all kinds. Sometimes the things will be interesting, sometimes they won't, and we're going to have to work really hard to make them interesting. But hey, that's the fun of it, I guess.
That's the rule number one. I think as long as someone gets laughed at,
which will be me,
at some point during it or all the way through it, then I think it's a job well done.
There we go. Good. Cool. Well, let's get straight into it then. So today's theme, if you like, it's going to be categories, themes, whatever you want to kind of call it, is going to be technology.
Tech.
Yeah, how does that make you feel?
Initially, I'm not a particularly techie kind of person.
No?
I've never been gadgety. I've always had old phones, things
this
like that.
It's going to be fucking boring, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be really shit. I just remember when I was a kid and I had to get my dad to help me set up an email address.
Okay.
Your
dad helped you?
My dad helped me, yeah.
So yeah, I've never had that sort of help from my dad when it comes to technology. It's always been me helping him.
Which is the first time for anything, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, thanks. My first actual question, and I've been thinking about it myself, and I'm still not quite sure which one it was. I've got a couple of memories, but what's the first bit of tech you think you ever got as a child?
That's a good one. That's quite a good one, actually. For me, I remember there's a couple. I think I was always quite confused by what tech actually was, because my dad always just kept bits of like motherboards or like bits of electronics around. He'd always be making something or other. But I remember as a kid winning a CD player. So we'd always had tape decks, right? real nice tapey things. And I won a CD player. Did a drawing competition. Won a CD player, and it was a Coke bottle lid style CD player.
Oh, I remember those.
So I got one of those. I was pretty excited because all my mates had CDs. I remember like mini discs players as well.
I had one of them as well. I'm sure we'll get onto them.
And I was like, oh man, this is insane. But got it. Realised that I didn't have any CDs to play on it. So this is when my dad asked me, like, oh, well, if you don't have any CDs, like, what kind of music do you like? And I had no idea. So the only person I knew of was Elvis. So I got an Elvis CD for that.
Really? So that was your first ever CD?
That was my first ever CD.
So you were saying you had tape decks before. Did you have cassette tapes as well?
It was, yeah, but it was none of it was music. It was all, there was things called storytellers.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And they'd come with a book. And then you'd listen, and then you'd also
read those you listen to. Oh, that's cool, yeah.
So I had those. What was yours?
Like, I can't remember exactly now at all. No, I can't remember. I can't remember which one I had first, but one of the ones, I think I had this first, and it was like, I think it was made by Filofax. You remember Filofax? I know there's Filofax is a thing, but there was a company that did little like football Filofaxes, and they were like, do you remember those?
Yeah.
It was something like that, but it was a digital one, and it was red. I remember it being red. I think I'm going to have a Google later, see if I can find it.
Yeah.
We'll try and put pictures up on the Facebook page and on Twitter when...
I think I still have my CD player, though.
Do you?
Yeah, I think it's back home. I still got it.
That's a picture there, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll have to post that.
Yeah, get one of those up.
Yeah. But I think my first one was actually a CD player as well.
Nice.
And it was, I forget the name of the company. It was like Alba, maybe? Alba?
Did
I make that up?
Jessica Alba, yeah.
Yeah, Jessica Alba, yeah. It was her family CD player. and it was metallic green.
Oh, like that kind of, like, bug kind of...
Yeah. It was darkish green, but it had a bit of a shimmer to it, so it was kind of metallic-y. And that was my first... I think that was my first bit of tech, and I got that for a birthday from mum and dad.
Nice.
And I didn't have any CDs, obviously, and they bought me a CD with it.
What CD was it?
It was Oasis.
Oh.
I've never liked Oasis. Still don't really like them to this day. Like, obviously, I know all their songs, just because you hear them everywhere, but... Didn't realise I was going to be a fan. Didn't turn out to be a fan either. So I can't remember. I really, this is annoying now because I come up with this idea and I can't remember the name of the single. But all I remember is on the CD case, it was a single. It was just a single. And it was, I remember when you opened it up on the inside, it had like wedding. It was like the world record wedding picture or something. Okay. Like about 100 people, bride and grooms lined up. And on the front cover, I think it was a couple kind of cuddling, maybe even two dudes cuddling.
Nice. Can't remember. Very progressive.
But I can't remember what song it was at all.
Probably Wonderwall.
No, I think I know. It was definitely one of their singles that no one ever bought. But that's the one I got for my birthday. Can't remember
CDs,
what it's called.
Eh?
Yeah.
We'll find it. We'll try and find out.
I'll definitely find it, yeah. I've just noticed... My computer wants to restart, so I'm just going to quickly try tonight, and that will, leave me alone. Software, right? Okay,
that's cool. Gone. That's another thing that tech can do.
Yeah. So my computer always wants to update, which is great because otherwise it wouldn't work. So happy days. When it comes to being young and technology, do you remember your parents having something and being that is awesome. They're really high tech. That is really cool.
I was always kind of disappointed because my parents never had tech stuff.
Yeah.
My parents always just had old bits of crap.
Yeah. Well, wait until you hear what my parents had. So, you wouldn't leave that left out. But yeah.
No, but I remember my dad, whenever he used to get anything for Christmas, I remember we got some walkie talkies one Christmas and instantly my dad took them apart to sort of see how they work and then use them for his own project. And I remember I had this Thomas the Tank Engine. This is really progressive tech here, but I had Thomas the Tank Engine slippers, right?
Okay.
That when you walked, they play the Thomas the Tank Engine theme tune. That's
very cool.
So they...
They're cool slippers.
I adored them. They were like my favourite things in the world. And then my dad took them out because he got pissed off with them. So then I just had the slippers with no...
No noise. He took the sound bits out.
Yeah, just ripped them out. And then he was just like, you don't need them. It's done.
That, okay, that's amazing. Yeah, cool. I think that I'm sure my parents had other technology and stuff, but I remember this is the first time I was like, wow, that's very cool. And it was when they got their first contract phone.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, and it was, and like, I don't know how long contract phones have been around by then. I'm sure there was contract phones were probably quite an early thing when phones came out, you know. I'm trying to remember now when this was actually. It was definitely in the 90s, obviously, but it was probably, I must have been aware, so it was probably around, 97? I don't know, 97, between 97 and 99, maybe, something around then. And it was from Carphone Warehouse.
Nice.
And I know that because it came with loads of free shit. And like, you know, you see, go down the high street and you see these phone shops, unknown phone shops selling a contract with a PS4, you know.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I think that was a thing everywhere then. And they had a Motorola phone. It was a big, big thing with a tiny little screen that was like green and black. As well. With an antenna, yeah. I'll find a picture of it because it was awesome. And I actually ended up being my phone at one point for a while. Yeah, I had it for a little while. But the thing that I remember most was the case. They got, not case, they, it was like a bag. And then you get the old over-shoulder kind of satchel bags. Yeah,
they come with a bag.
It came with a bag. And it was a big kind of green and blue bag, horrible green and blue, not that nice stylish green and blue. It was fucking disgusting. And it had big Carphone Warehouse logo on the side of it. And that was my school bag for a while.
Really?
Yeah. And it wasn't one of those kind of like, go on, take this to school. You don't need a new backpack.
Yeah.
And you know, you go, ooh, I've got this horrible bag to take to school. I thought it was the fucking shit. I thought it was amazing. Everybody's walking around with backpacks. I've got a satchel.
You're ahead of your time because satchels, I remember when high school started and the satchels were the one.
Yeah, totally. And like, so they're a thing now as well. Like everybody's still, you know, that's a cool thing to have now. It's not backpacks. I think backpacks are cool again now.
They're good for lumbar support.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm more of a backpack man. You know, I've done my satchel thing. You know, I adopted it early.
Yeah.
You know, I was an early adopter.
Way ahead of the curve.
Yeah, and I thought, nah, it's not cool anymore. You know, it's too cool. So I'll leave it. But I think that going back to what they got with it, actually, they also got a pager.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I don't think they ever used it, but they had one. I'm pretty sure it was blue, but it was like, remember a lot of things in the 90s, like plastic technology was see-through plastic.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, so you could see the components inside. But I don't think they ever used it. I don't even know if they know how to use it or even if they needed to use it in their life. I think it was a businessman thing, wasn't it? A pager or a doctor's.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, doctors.
You know, doctors
that's
have it, you know.
Watching Scrubs or
something. Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody on Scrubs has a pager. And it
must be true if it's on Scrubs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's fact. Yeah, definitely. I thought it was amazing. And I remember being really kind of like jealous and thinking, oh, I wish I had all these amazing things.
The same as what your parents
had. Yeah, yeah. And I think that was why I asked the question, because like I say, it was like I looked at it and was like, my parents are cool.
Yeah.
They've got cool things.
Well, that's the thing with my dad, because my dad had, like, because he used to run a community play bus where you go around and people who didn't have access
You've mentioned this before, actually, yeah.
We'll do a whole episode on it.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Or
all
about Matty's childhood.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So he had this bus and he'd go around for people who didn't have access to like either equipment or toys or whatever. And he had the computers, got laptops. I can't remember, I think they were Dell or something, but they were chunky things. They're like
Breeze block.
Yeah, I've put my hands up to describe the size, but obviously you can't see it. It's probably about the size of a regular book, you know?
Yeah.
4.5. And I remember now I know about RAM or have an understanding.
You think you know about RAM?
Yeah, I think I know about RAM now.
Yeah, okay.
And it had something like 16 megabytes of RAM.
Okay.
So I might be getting that completely wrong.
No, that's probably about right.
Yeah. But just having computers and just being like, oh my God, like, are we rich?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. And then just having, because I remember he got a load of phones for the bus as well.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know why, because I don't think you didn't have mobile internet in those days.
No, not really.
I don't know, I think just to have them, and got a few, and then I got this orange one, and that was my first ever mobile phone. And all my mates at school had them.
Do you remember what brand it was?
I'm going to say no.
Was it like orange see-through plastic? Like I was on
no,
that one ago.
It was white. It had orange keys.
Okay.
It was white with like a blue and white casing.
Okay.
And I remember it was the first phone that I ever had. And I was like, great, because now all my mates at school had them. I was like, now I've got my own number. So if I want to give my number to someone.
Yeah, I remember that. Actually, that moment you were like, I have a mobile number.
Yeah. And then,
fuck the phone. I have a mobile number.
Now I don't have to have someone ring my home phone and risk getting embarrassed in front of my parents that someone's phoning me.
Yeah.
And I could do it all by myself.
Yeah. Love that. So that was your first phone?
That was my first phone,
I think let's touch on the first phones this minute, because I've always been in mobiles. I've had them for not as long as I can remember, because that'd be a lie. but I've had them a long time. But I think my first one must have been a Nokia. No. Yeah, it was a Nokia. It was a Nokia, and it was, I want to say, a 3310.
The beasts.
Yeah, I think it was the first one to lose the antenna.
Oh, nice.
Don't look at the questions.
Sorry.
Just trying to peek
ahead. I was getting bored.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, I see how it is. But, well, fine. But yeah, I had a 3310 was the first one, and it had a snake on it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And
it
was like, yeah, I'm the
dog. See, that's the thing with those phones. If you still have one now, like, I see people with them, it's like, that's never going to die.
I read an article the other day on possibly Dig or Reddit, somewhere internet-based, you know, where all paper articles are now.
Yeah.
Technology, you know, we'll get onto that maybe. But there was, I think it was maybe the 3310 or one of the old first Nokias. Mm. It was like going for like a few hundred quid.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know why, because I'm pretty sure I've got a drawer full of them somewhere.
Was it in packaging, or was it?
Must have been. It didn't specify. And it was just saying about the fact that it's now worth that much money. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Don't think it is.
Yeah. But this is the interesting thing, because our generation, we're one of the last to have known analog and also digital at the same time.
Yeah, that's a very good point, yeah.
It's really interesting, because even when, on your phone, on the iPhone, if you get a call and you slide to answer, it's still an analog payphone symbol.
Yeah.
But that's not the way the phones work anymore. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting, because we're that last one, but it's also coming back round again. Because analog is still being brought back in. It's like playing with the Polaroid cameras that you've got recently.
Yeah, yeah.
It's comes as a fashion thing, a trend thing as well. But then it's also...
Yeah, I just want to look cool.
Yeah. You don't even need to try, mate.
Thanks.
You've got that all done.
Cool, thanks.
But it's just... It's the same with like handmade processes as well. Like book binding is very much coming back in, and screen printing.
And yeah, yeah.
Like actually making physical things again, because it did all go digital for a very long time.
Mm.
And there was a point where I thought that like there's no need for shops anymore, really, after a while. And then it's just like, well, of course there still is, because people still need that human interaction.
Yeah. Like, because, you know, touching on like kind of self checkout and stuff, you know, that's amazing. It's really cool, the fact that that's a thing.
Yeah.
And like you can pretend you work in a shop, which is quite fun, you know.
Yeah. Scanning. Well, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
it's
all kind fun.
Of the novelty of it as well.
But at the same time, like I went to Tesco's before this, you know, that's our sponsor this week, Tesco's.
Every little helps.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll send this to them later. They'll have to pay us now. I only had a basket, a couple of things.
Yeah.
And there was no one at the self-checkout, but I was like, I can't bother.
Yeah.
I'd rather go and see someone. As much, I didn't even talk to the person. I just went, all right, you know, and she was like, hello, how's your day? And I was like, yeah, it's lovely. It's quite nice. It was, you know, it was cold this morning, now it's brightened up a little bit, you know, and that was it.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as that, at the time I was like, I didn't even think of it this way, but like, it was that, you know, interaction with a person makes, even if I'm just buying a loaf of bread, you know, it's nice.
Yeah. I think it's, because there's too much of a fear of, because technology, I think, almost has an aspect of it where it's relatively isolating. It's kind of the same that if you have your phone, then more often than not, you see people just like staring at it. And from the outside perspective, it's just like, you look like you're alone, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Like, and it's that kind of thing. Like, and I never really cared for a while because I was like, I don't care what you think. I'm just going to get my phone out of my pocket and use it. But like, I do make a conscience thing now is when I am at a party or, you know, even going out for a meal somewhere, you know, to leave my phone alone. I try to. Obviously, I fail most of the time.
But it's a safety thing as well, isn't it? Because when you look at your phone, like, it's instantly immersive for you. That's an immersive experience that you're directly, I would almost say, almost interacting with it. But it's most of the time it's a one-way kind of thing. But it's a safety mechanism as well, because say if you're with a group of friends and you can be talking like this, and as soon as there's a lull, then often it's a mechanism to go, oh, just check my phone.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
I'll just kind of swipe through it.
It makes it less awkward, I suppose, in a way, yeah.
Because I was, we went to the Pick Me Up exhibition the other day, and I was waiting for a mate, and I was waiting for about 20 minutes, and I had some work to do, and it was, I had to basically read this information and do some illustrations out of it. And I was on my phone just looking through it. Obviously, I was doing work and it was something that it would be creative because I was trying to come up with ideas of how to make illustrations out of it. But I just thought from an outside perspective, I'm just a guy that's like leaning against the wall, just flicking through my phone. And for what that looks like, to some people would just be like, why is that dude just, like, you could go and talk to people, or like, even if you had a book, you know, if you had a book in front of you and you're reading that, it looks a lot less lonely to me. But then at one point it would have been like, why are you reading a book? You know?
Yeah. Cause that's just so old school.
Yeah.
You know? So even maybe it's cool now.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe it is cool to sit there and read a book.
Well, it's something to talk to people about as well. So I think there's a study where people, if you're a lot less threatening if you're holding something like a book.
Yeah, I get that. It depends what it says on the front of the book. That's though, true, I suppose. Yeah.
How to kill the person next to you. How to be a Manson.
Yeah. How to stop yourself raging whilst you're on the tube.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a little bit awkward if you sat opposite someone on the tube and they're just like,
how to fail at that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's find another question, because I've got another one here. I hope so, anyway, because we've got a while left. We talked about parents' technology. What was your favourite piece of technology you had, like, as an early age? You know, let's go of all time.
Hands I think down.
Go on.
Hands down, my Game Boy.
I'm so glad you brought Game Boy up.
Hands down, Game Boy. Yeah.
Which Game Boy did you have? Did you have a couple?
I was a bit of a Nintendo freak. I never saw myself as being techie, but I just love Nintendo. First one we got was the original.
Oh, you had the original?
I've got it in my drawer over there. Yep. I'll crack it out later.
Yeah.
But that was one that my dad got for my sister, and they were playing it. And I remember that we got it, cracked it open, and we all just sat around. I think we had Tetris, and we all just sat around it, just taking turns and just look at, because it's amazing when that, and with the little light that you could plug in to the side of it, so you could see in the dark, and being able to change the contrast and the volume as well.
So did you have the big grey one?
Big grey one.
Yeah, because that was 1990, that was, I think, that came out. Yeah. I used to have a big book that had like lots of things that happened in it. Like, I think it was made by the people who do a Guinness book. It's kind of a Guinness book of the 20th
came out
century
on my
or something.
Birth year.
Yeah.
Wow. So we obviously got it quite late.
Yeah.
That's how up to date we are.
Can you remember when you got it?
Have been about 7 or 8.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really old.
I thought we were ahead of the curve. We had these laptops in the bus, and they were just fucking 60 years old.
Yeah. we'll double check it. I've got a feeling it was 1990, though.
I still loved it.
Yeah.
But then for my birthday,
go on.
I think it was my 12th birthday. when I was besotted by Pokemon. I remember I had a couple of friends come over.
We'd yeah.
gone out playing, doing your thing.
Yeah.
And they'd... My parents had given them Pokemon cards.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, how come I don't get any Pokemon cards? And they're like, well...
Your parents gave them Pokemon cards? Yeah, okay.
Gave my mates Pokemon cards. And I was like, what the fuck? How dare you give my mates Pokemon cards and not me Pokemon cards? And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, why don't I have any? And they said, well, we've got you something else.
Good.
Yeah, I was like, too fucking right you have.
Yeah.
And it was my birthday coming up. And I was like, and they were, do you want it now or do you want it for your birthday? And as a 12-year-old kid, I think it's a month in advance. And I was like, how can tell me that? You should just get me Pokemon cards and I'd have been satisfied.
Yeah.
Go on my birthday. And I was like, well, I do kind of want to wait, but also I'm just going to have it now. I'm just going to have to have it now. I want my Pokemon cards. I thought maybe they got me two packs. I don't want to share. I was like, all right. Got it out. And it was a Game Boy Color.
Wow.
Game Boy Color with Pokemon Blue. And it still wells me up today. Because so happy. So happy to have it. And I remember starting up and playing it. And because it's called Game Boy Color. And my dad was looking at it and he goes, that's not color, it's just blue.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, it was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the game. That's always been the game for me on the Game Boy. Hands down.
I was never into Pokemon because I had the Game Boy Pocket.
Oh yeah,
I had a green one. That was the one between the Big Brick and the color.
Oh yeah,
no.
It was smaller, but black and white.
Yeah. Mm. So it was before the color. My brother got the color the following year when it came out. Nice. But, I was like, no, it's fine.
What color was the color?
His color was the see through purple.
Oh nice.
Yeah. But mine was, I had the Pocket, which was green. And I remember asking for it. And like, you know, when you do ask for things like that, you're like, well, I'm never going to get it. But I still asked for that. And I've asked for the, do you remember the printer
and the
camera as well?
I was so desperate for that printer. I saw it in the Beano and I was like, I have to have this.
Yeah, I think I saw it in the Beano actually. I
have to have this.
But I remember asking for that as well. And I was like, I'm being really cheeky now. But I asked for it a lot. And I was like, I want all this. And they're like, okay. And then... comes around. I'm pretty sure it was birthday. I don't think it was Christmas. And comes around and it's like, yeah, I've got the Game Boy. I've got the printer. I've got the camera.
Oh, man.
And I've still got all of that now as well.
I'm getting excited.
Yeah, I've got all of it.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And the camera as well was bright yellow. So it was bright yellow on green.
Oh man, that looked like shit.
It looked amazing. it's fucking shit. It looked amazing. Big yellow on green, yeah, it's great.
Brazil in your house,
but and I absolutely loved it. And I think I got the camera, and the camera had a couple of games on it as well.
Yeah,
they had a couple of games where you could like put your face on the game, and it was games like there was like this little stick figure that kind of moved side to side with his hands up in the air, which is what I'm doing right now. You know, looked like a little teapot. he kind of moves across the screen with his hands up
like
in the air.
A crab.
There's balls in the air, like a crab. Yeah, it looks like a crab.
Like Zoidberg.
And exactly. And there's balls in the air, and then you have to catch the ball, and then the ball lands in hand and goes back up again, and it's juggling basically, but you have to move and catch the balls. And I think more ads afterwards for a while, but it's got your face on it. And you could put, I think you could put like four or five different faces. So you kind of pulled like, ooh, and like, you know, weird faces. And like,
good.
It was great. It was amazing.
But it's the simplicity of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it was so simple.
And it's the nostalgia that I have of being so... I remember when I got my first... Because all my friends had Pokemon cards. This isn't tech, but this is just nostalgia.
No, I think it goes, yeah.
But I remember being feeling left out. And like, oh, I can't... Oh, like all my friends have Pokemon cards. Don't have them. I remember we went to a birthday party and we all got Pokemon cards and I had my first pack and I was so excited. You know, like the idea of like swapping cards, shinies and such.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to do it, but having no idea how to do it at all. And just being so ecstatic and having this one pack of cards and resorting them. Like I think you got like eight in a pack or something.
Yeah, that was the little thin foil packets, wasn't it? Because you could get the boxes as well, which I think had more.
Yeah.
And they always had a shiny in it as well, didn't they?
Yeah, but it's a guarantee. Oh, man, I was addicted. I went to a point with my grandma and went to a shop And every time we went, he was like, oh, how many packs of cards do you want? And he's like, oh, do you want 4, 5? And I think we'll just get one. I was like, no, I've got to have more. Got to have more.
I never really got into the Pokemon that much. I got them, obviously, because every kid did.
Mm.
But I got bored of them pretty quickly.
What was your thing then?
I don't know.
Biscuits.
Like, dog biscuits, yeah. We'll leave that story for a bit.
Yeah, wait for that story.
That's a good story, but that'll come in childhood.
Not truly tech.
Yeah. We'll leave that one out, but it is a fantastic story. I was waiting for that to come up, actually. But yeah, no, I don't know. Because I had my Game Boy. I loved my Game Boy. But like, I was always really into like going out and like messing about and just not needing anything. And I think that's why I didn't... The cards, because my mates, we were like, yeah, quite like, go over the woods. There was a woods right next to my house.
Yeah,
throw things over the hill, you know, just boulders down the rocks and just mess about. Yeah. Like, you know,
I think that's, yeah.
And
that's,
I think,
good.
And like, don't get me wrong, I did like spend a lot of time as soon as my first mate got his PlayStation, for example. Like, that was it. I lived around there.
Sit down consoles came around.
I think that's where it ruined it all. Yeah. Not ruined it, because like, I've got PlayStation now, I fucking love it. I don't play it nearly as much as I used to, or much as I want to, but...
I think the solitary gamer is a much bigger thing. I think, I don't know, actually. I think solitary gaming is one thing, but there's such a community online that you can play with as well.
Yeah.
And people... I'm not going to knock it, because it's definitely out there. I think there's an idea of gamers being... sitting down playing alone, but... I mean, this is the way that the world is kind of anyway. Like, being with all this technology, that you're so connected with everybody all the time, that you don't have to be in the same room and in the same presence to be connected with people. Because I've got mates on the other side of the world, and they'll always be my best friends, like, absolutely. And I speak to them I hadn't spoken to them about a year. I spoke to them the other day, but just because of Facebook, that you can do that. And I think you go through those different kinds of technology with, as a kid, it's just being like games and like playing things. And then now you have things like, almost like what you're saying with the Game Boy camera thing, like things like Instagram, Facebook and things like that, Twitter, because it's just all communication, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And especially with the gaming now as well, and like you say, like, you know, that there is that kind of people just sat at home on their own all the time. And like I say, like, my brother's really into gaming. He plays all the time, and like, as soon as the PS4 came out, he got it as soon as he could, he got it. Me, on the other hand, like, as much as I'd like a new console, you know, I've still got my PS3 and I'm quite happy with it, you know, and that's fine. But like saying, like, you know, he and like, a lot of my friends and other friends and that, they're really into it, and they play online, and I don't play online. I've never really kind of got into that. Just because, like, I'm quite happy, like, being shit, sat on my own,
crap at games, so I never wanted to.
And, like, my brother is fucking awesome, and he's really good at it. Like, even my uncle, he plays online and stuff quite a bit, and he's fucking good, and he loves playing online, Call of Duty and stuff, and, like, you know, I'm shit, so I'm like, I'm going to just... happy on my own, thinking I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as I get online, I'll be like, I suck.
That's exactly, I remember just... like when Halo came out, and I used to be terrified of first person shooters, just really apprehensive about playing them, just really hating them.
Because you get really pumped up as well, though. They are like, you do get nervous playing them. And because Halo is one of the biggest first shooters as far as I'm concerned. That and another one, which I'll get onto in a second. But like, so I used to go around my mate's house all the time, play Halo with him. He was a lot better than me. Like, I still won sometimes, and like, we got on quite well in that. But you're sat on the edge of the sofa, and you're just like, fuck, like that, and you jump it up in the air, and
you
kills
hate your mates,
like,
as well.
It just gets really pumped and exciting, and you know, it's great. It really is.
But I do
have to do this bit now. Is the my all-time favourite game, and it always will be, and no one will ever beat it.
I think I know.
Is GoldenEye.
Oh, okay.
I've done it. I've dropped the GoldenEye bomb.
That's just the game of legends, isn't it? Because that's one of the first games where they had... the multiplayer was only like a short add-on. I think it was done in like a couple of months after...
Oh, yeah. It was just a thing they thought of right at the end. Yeah, I've heard this
But that's what made GoldenEye...
Yeah.
the legendary game
like,
that it is.
The
right?
story is amazing. It's for an old game, yeah. what it is. It's like any other shooter game you play now, with the storyline, yeah. which was wicked back then. But like I say, it was that multiplayer
it's what started
game.
Off the multiplayer,
and it was just yeah. like that was just immense.
For it to be an afterthought, though,
I know,
because now first person shooters is multiplayer is the main point of it, right?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
COD and Halo and such. Storyline's still good, like they still have. I think Halo, I've never been that big into Halo, but as far as I hear, it's quite a good story.
Again, yeah, I've never actually played the storyline of Halo, but I think I started one once and it was brilliant. I just got bored,
yeah,
and like I didn't play it. And it's not the game, like, yeah. like a lot of people say they're amazing, they're really, really, really good. And that, yeah, that's fine, carry on,
yeah,
but. I think it's just that fact that, like, you know, the only game that I've ever completed as such, I think I did complete GoldenEye, but I only did that a couple of years ago. I didn't do it when it first came out.
I was too scared when it first came out.
Yeah. Back then, I was I don't do that. No, we'll leave it like that.
I get my mate to do it. I pretend
yeah.
I've done it.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah. No, I did that actually on a couple of things. I think that was because the first game I think I ever completed all the way was Tony Hawk's Underground. Did you ever play them?
Yeah, yeah.
And Underground, yeah, I completed that all the way properly, all the way and did everything. And then I remember San Andreas, which was an incredible game. I've completed it since, but when it first came out, I was just dying to get on the other islands.
Yeah.
So I went around my mate's house and copied his memory cards and then plugged it in mine and I had a completed version of San Andreas to play.
Snake.
Yeah. And like I say, yeah. And yeah, I completed it since, but yeah, at the time I was just like, I got it. And I was like, right, cool. I need to go get a completed copy of the game now so I can just go round and roam around.
Because it just wasn't something that I was comfortable with. I mean, I had a friend back home called Leon, and he got the Xbox. He got the Nintendo 64 when it came out. He got the Xbox and just used to love playing like shooty fighty games. And as a kid, I was just so timid. I just couldn't even handle them.
Really, really, one of my favourite memories when it comes to like getting nervous or scared in a game, and he'll probably hate me saying this, and I'm going to say exactly who it was as well.
Yeah.
But my mate Dan Afe, which will probably come up in a lot of these podcasts.
Nice.
And
cool.
He'll know exactly why, and he's going to hate me for it, but I don't go fuck, because they're some of my best
happens.
Stories.
Yeah.
But he, this, and like again, this wasn't that long ago. This was a few years ago, maybe. I can't remember what console it is. I think it's probably the PS3, so it wasn't that long ago. But it was Lara Croft, right?
Yep.
And it was, I want to say, it was one of the newer ones. Did you say Tigers?
Is it the Tigers?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Right?
Not the Tigers.
He literally, he was sat on the edge of the bed and like he literally just bought it. We'd just done a couple of levels. And I think it was quite early on when he first see the tiger.
Yeah.
And he comes around this corner and it jumps at him and like it kills him. And he literally screamed and threw the remote. And it was the funniest thing. I laughed about that for days. I've also got stories for days about this guy, seriously. And he will fucking hate me for it. But yeah, he's going to... I think maybe that could even be a thing, like a story about Dan each week, because there's so many.
Let's include those.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's the first edition of what Dan Affey did one time.
And I think, to be fair, that was interesting.
Yes, there we go.
Imagine if my mic wasn't on.
It is on. I can see that it's still on. Right. Do you remember there being much technology at school? Like, right, let's go start primary school. Like, cool. Much technology around at school.
Yeah, the best bit of it. Do you remember we used to have, you know those Hoover things that you get now where you program it to do like a certain...
Yep, I know exactly what you mean, because this is where I got the idea from.
Really?
Yeah, well, carry on.
And you type in like a destination like 2 forward...
Yeah.
3 left.
Yeah.
9 back.
Yeah.
Into the girls' toilet, something like that.
Yeah.
And then I think we had it for maths, but it was basically an excuse. because that wasn't real math.
No, I don't really know.
Can't remember what it was called.
We're going to have to ask Tiff, because she's my wife's a teacher, by the way. But we'll see, because I don't know drop. If they yeah, she, keep her happy. She's not now, but... yeah, we're asking to see if there is that's still a thing, or if it what it was, or yeah. how that... Because I don't know. Like, maybe it's to do with maybe learn directions and, like, maybe technology, because, like, IT as a subject has probably been around a lot longer than... You know, before it was more like, because now I think IT is a big deal in school, because you know, you if you don't know how to use a computer, you're going to struggle in most jobs, right?
Well, yeah,
so you know,
it's pretty early tech in my life,
yeah.
But the same with your Danny,
yeah.
I've got mine's a Leon Waddington, probably won't come up as much, but he's already come up once in this.
Has
this
he?
Podcast. Well, it's the Leon I was talking about earlier with the who I the game and stuff,
yeah.
I remember he was just a naughty kid. Like, he was just always being naughty. And whenever he was good, he was allowed to take one friend from our class and go to the head teacher's office and play on the school computer.
Okay.
And in that, with that computer, he would just make really obscene drawings, like on paint, of teachers and people in the school. So to be rewarded for being good, he would just go off and he would
be
just
bad.
Yeah. With the school's only computer.
Amazing.
Yeah, he was.
So you only had one school. Is this primary school?
Yes, our primary school is a pretty small primary school.
Yeah.
I think there's about like 100 of us.
Yeah. I couldn't remember. Like, mine was quite small. I think it was, I don't even know how many of I was.
Probably.
No, I don't. I struggle with when I get past 21. I struggle to remember which number I struggle to get past. but yeah, I think yeah, I remember those little, because I don't know why I'm getting this from, because I think it was completely wrong. I might be making it up, but they were called turtles or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Or maybe that's what I called them.
I think that's what we called them as well.
Yeah.
Just because they like the ones from Super Mario, they kind of looked a bit like.
Yeah. Well, like what color was it? Can you remember?
Ours was white, I think.
Ours was white. Yeah. Maybe the actual brand or company was something to do with a turtle.
Yeah.
If we've both done that, said that, I know it looked kind of like a turtle shell, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
We're going to have to Google that.
That's another pick.
Google it. Cool. And you had one computer in the school?
Yeah.
I think we probably did it first.
And a photocopier. Whoa. We used to be able
pushing
to see photocopier, and that was pretty fun. Because the paper was really warm.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember that as a kid, actually, getting a photocopier out and then kind of holding it. And being like, that's really warm. warm paper.
Not like home.
Yeah. And it's actually the smell of it as well, wasn't it? Mm. We're getting off track a little bit, aren't we? Yeah. Just smell of paper and the fact that paper gets warm when it's gone for a photocopy.
Yeah.
We're back there again.
Let's stop smoking crack in between.
Yeah. but I think we had a few computers in our school. I don't know if we did when I first got there, or maybe because I think my school got bigger and better by the time I got to the end of the year, it was even better. And when I left, it was great because I left. I think we had a computer in each room in the last couple of years of school.
Yeah, no, I think
maybe it was just the fact that they only had a computer in the rooms when you got four, five, and six or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. But I remember there being
slightly
a computer suite built before I left. And I think I only used it maybe for two years. Mm. I remember that. That we had those. What about secondary school? Did you have a lot more tech there, or was it just computers again?
I remember having more, but the trouble is now that whenever I think of a computer, I think, oh, surely it must be like a Mac or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm just desperately, there must have been like loads of computers just because I remember having really shitty keyboards to have to type. No, of course we did IT lessons.
Yeah.
Of course you did. And then everyone would try and go on like dirty websites.
Yeah. Do you remember what sort of stuff you did? Like, I'm sure we'll do one on education at some point, but do you remember what you had to do in IT?
I can't remember at all, you know. I think we must have had to write... I remember writing a letter to an MP for one of them.
I think I did something like that. Yeah. I don't know if maybe it was an MP. I think I was an MP as well. I think I've definitely had to write a letter to an MP once.
Yeah, but I can't
maybe
remember...
Maybe that was something completely different now. Mm.
No, I can't remember at all. Because the only thing I can think of that we would have had to do is, like, spreadsheets, maybe like a PowerPoint presentation.
I definitely remember doing PowerPoint, Excel, and letter writing and stuff on Word. And I think that was probably all you had to do in IT.
What else was there to do?
Yeah, exactly. Like the only time,
Facebook back then.
No, exactly. I think there was. I remember going on game websites. Game websites were a good thing.
What's the
big thing then?
Stick, the one where he's like on a bike or something.
A stick def.
Is it stick def?
With the, in its videos of like motocrossers and stuff.
Yeah.
There's what's it called? I think it's called stick def.
Is it called stick def?
Yeah. We'll have a look. But yeah. So computers,
but then I did what. What else would you have? I remember like doing music at school as well. So obviously having like keyboards and, but then the thing is like technology isn't just resigned to digital stuff, is it?
Yeah.
Like technology is just, it's just a tool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
But I think I must have had something in art as well. But then I can't remember, you know, because in uni you have had like a laser cutter and the whole workshop.
Yeah, when I got to college and stuff, like it was all bigger, better things.
And stuff like doing like etching and screen printing and developing as well.
What, in uni?
We did that in college.
Oh, in college?
Yeah, we did it in uni as well.
Yeah.
But developing photos and stuff using darkrooms.
Yeah.
And stuff. That was quite good.
Yeah, I'm getting a dark tent.
Dark tent.
Yeah, it's going to be... I don't know if I can get in it or not. I think I'm not sure how big it is. It's basically off Nick.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Nick McKenzie.
Okay, yeah.
Because he used to work in Jessup's. We're just having a conversation about something separate now,
aren't we? A friend of ours.
Yeah.
Mutual friend.
But
that's the thing, isn't it? Because you go through different stages of what you're interested in anyway.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, it was all about solitary gaming. I never liked playing two-player games because I didn't like the competition. And that kind of scared me. But now, if we have a two-player game... It's way more fun than playing a solitary game.
Like, because I still play every now and then. If I get really, really bored at home, I'll play something just to entertain myself for 5 minutes. But it will be for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But, like, I think a few weeks ago when I was around here, we started playing Call of Duty. Yeah. And, like, I wanted to do that for the rest of the day. Then, you know what I mean? We didn't want to do anything else.
Again, it's a nostalgic thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's being... Playing online against people is a thing that pretty much everyone does who's kind of into gaming now. But the days of when... There was no online, and you'd have to play against your mate. And those things are really good because you can put each other off and swear at each other.
Yeah.
And all those kind of things. But then it's a different interest in technology anyway, isn't it? Because I was never interested in, say, like printing processes up until recently, or even things like Illustrator or After Effects. That's not something that interested me at all. And I was just sort of all pen and paint. In my illustration work,
yeah.
But now that's completely changed, and you've started to get more into photography and developing those kind of things.
Yeah, but that actually brings me on to the next one. Actually, is like technology and hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
I have a new hobby every other week. To be honest,
what a great segue.
I know. Thanks. You know, that's what I do.
That was really good.
We ruined it by doing that, though, didn't we?
I did. Idiot friend.
Like technology and hobbies, because I say we've both got hobbies. Like your hobby is more of a job and your kind of career and passion.
It's a potential jobby.
Like a lot of my hobbies and things I've done in the past, I've got paid for some of them in some way, and it's kind of become a job, but generally I do it day to day. I don't get paid anything for them.
What
I'm getting at is there anything in your, like, we'll talk about like your kind of your art and your illustration and stuff now, you know, like is there any kind of technology that you use that makes, not necessarily makes it easier, but makes it more exciting or better, you know what I mean?
I think always learning a new skill is always a really good part of it, because I did a project where I was really apprehensive about using After Effects. And so I had a project where I made an animation to get over my apprehension of animating.
Yeah.
And so I think doing things like that, and also doing it with other people, because starting this podcast, for example, is not something that I would probably have done by myself.
Yeah.
But this is also a hobby, but it's also something that, I mean, like whether you make money out of something or not isn't really the most important thing anyway.
100%.
It's yeah, it's learning new skills and it's being able to talk about things. Because that, I mean, that's what technology and art are essentially. Technology is a way of providing a tool in order to achieve something, and art is finding the best way to express an idea. And those two things are pretty similar in their sort of base ideas, I feel. But in terms of if anything makes it easier,
yeah,
I think you just find new things all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
I think that's what makes it a lot more exciting. I think also when other people are doing things that they're excited about, I think that makes it a lot more exciting as well.
Yeah, 100%. And like, because like I think when I look at technology and my hobbies and or things that I've done in the past, like I used to do a lot of DJing. Mm. Like that was my job for a long time.
Yep.
I still do a lot of it now, but I just don't do it in public anymore, just because like I lost the love for it.
Mm.
And I think I finally found the love for DJing and like playing music together again.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that I might pick up again one day. But I'm probably never gonna try. It's never about being a famous DJ or anything like that. Famous DJ, you know. but it's never going to be about that now. But like I say, like I think I was drinking around a mate's house one night, and he was talking about something he made. He was playing in a band at the time.
Yeah.
And he had a kind of a mix of some songs playing in the background, and I was talking about that, and I was like, oh, they were really good. Like, and like, where did you find it? Because they were all like mixed together slightly. Like, it was terrible, but it was slightly mixed. And he was like, oh, I did it myself. And I was like, what? How do you do that?
How the hell do you do that?
And it was a Virtual DJ. He downloaded Virtual DJ and used that and just mixed it. And then, like, I didn't say mixed. He played them slightly overlapped.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, kind of whatever else. And then I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, I love music. And I think I was working in a club at the time. I was actually working in a club. And I was like, oh, yeah, I want to do that. So I downloaded it the next day.
Yeah.
And I started playing with it, and within about 20 minutes of playing with it, and like I already had a mass collection of music. I've always had the biggest collection of music I could ever need.
Yeah.
It's bigger now, but you know, but and like I say, I was using it, and I was just like, yeah, I really want to do this. This is really fun. And like I said, that was a case, and I know there's probably DJs possibly listening to this and going, no, that's not how DJing. That's where it comes from. But you find it in different ways, and that way, I've got a better understanding of like vinyl DJing now. And as much as I'm not that good at vinyl DJing, I'll admit that I've never really picked that up.
Yeah,
but you know, it was where I found it, and I found that because of the internet and technology, and I was able to download that software and start using it.
It's the thing, isn't it? Because you don't know something until you know it, and you've got to start somewhere. So regardless of whether you start with, because there can be a lot of snobbery around it as well.
What, with DJing?
Well, with anything.
Anything, yeah.
I think, because, I mean, even myself, like, I've always wanted to be into music as a kid, and just could never find like anything, so desperate to like it and just pretending to like stuff. Never really been into it. It's only been in the past couple of years that I've actually been into it. And we went to see a mate's band. I'm going to name drop them because they're actually quite good. They're called Claw. They're from Norwich.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. Went to see them. Amazing. Really, really, really good. And then there's a DJ on afterwards. I can't remember what the DJ was called, but he was just shit. And he would play a song, right?
Yeah.
It was in the same kind of tone as the band were playing. So it makes sense. Now it's kind of carrying on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there would be a pause, and then he'd just play a different song completely. And there's no mix, there's no journey in it. And then he waited for about a minute and then played, and it's just like, this is just not, there's a skill, there's a technique to it.
Yeah.
And you, sir, do not have that.
No.
But then, you know, you've got to start somewhere. Like, you're going to if you're interested in it, you're always going to be shit at some point. And then you just keep on going.
No, exactly. And I would name drop, but I can't remember his fucking name. But there was this guy I DJed with. This was years ago again. This is, I can't
remember. Johnny Yates.
Where it was. Yeah, no, it wasn't Johnny Yates. I can't remember where. We DJed together anyway. He played the opening of a night I was doing.
Yeah.
He was fucking terrible. Absolutely fucking terrible. And I said it to him. I didn't say it quite as horribly as that, but I said, mate, you've got wicked songs. That's the easy bit, you know. Well, possibly sometimes the hard part, but yeah. Do you know what I mean? That was, he'd done that.
Different
he
levels
was
up,
he
yeah.
was yeah he was winning with that. It was just the fact that he was just trying way too fucking hard, and I was just like, and I'm not saying he's better now because of me, but now I've heard him since, actually. I think I found him on the internet a few weeks ago, maybe, actually, and he's fucking amazing.
Yeah,
really, really good. And like I say, and I'm not saying at all that was anything to do with me, because I didn't teach him anything. I just cement and went, mate, do something different. You know, because it's not working the way you're doing it.
Yeah, that's your claim to fame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So so his name's Skrillex. yeah. So I take full credit for Skrillex. I said that and it's been recorded now. So that's...
that's official.
That's official. So yeah. And I think the reason I actually brought in the technology of hobbies is the fact that I think this podcast is a bit of a hobby, and I think you mentioned that a minute ago.
Definitely,
you know?
Yeah.
And because of technology, the fact that I've got my nice MacBook, I studied music at college, so I've got like Logic, and I've got all these sort of amazing things. I've literally scrambled together, and that's probably why this podcast doesn't sound as good quality as it will from now on.
Yeah.
But it's because we've literally got a few different microphones that we've kind of pulled together with a few random cables, bodged up another cable that does something else, and yeah, it's kind of working at the moment. Well, let's hope anyway.
Yeah, we'll tell when we hear about. But that's the thing, like you don't start at the top of your ladder, do you? Like,
no,
you've
no, got to 100%, yeah.
Play around with it and see how it goes. But that's the fun of it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a hobby, would it?
No, exactly. And I think that's the key. If someone said, what's the definition of a hobby? And I think it's having fun, making mistakes, doing something.
Yeah, yeah.
Normally interesting.
And it's, you know, quite often it's something new as well.
Yeah, 100%.
You pick up a new hobby. And that's why it's kind of sad when it gets to a point where you can't... You have the idea of you having your job and then you have your hobby. And it's just the point where... Ideally, those two would be the same thing. But then sometimes if you do the thing that you love too much, then you end up getting bored of it.
And so, I think that goes back to what I was saying about DJing.
Mm.
It's the fact that I literally loved doing DJing. It was the coolest thing. I looked cool. I felt cool. You know what I mean?
It's the feeling of it.
It was, yeah. And I was just like, this is the best thing in the world. And I was DJing all over the place. I started doing private functions and stuff as well. So I actually got paid money for it.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, it was my job for a while. You know, I did other things in between, but, you know, my job, as far as I was concerned, was DJing, you know? And then one day I did I can't remember where I was. I was DJing on the Grand Pier in Weston-super-Mare. And it was for a college function.
Yeah.
I think it was their sport kind of awards night or something.
Mm.
And I was DJing that, and it was fucking awful.
Was it?
Yeah, they were all dickheads. It was just boring for me. It was just like, I was like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
What the hell am I doing? And it was so much work, because like I was living in London at the time as well. So I actually went back to do it. It was like something got booked before I actually moved up here. So it was a few years ago now. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? And that was the last time I did it. I even cancelled a show after that.
Why, were they just not appreciative of it? Or
it wasn't necessarily, I don't know. I literally don't know to this day why it was. I just didn't feel it. I was just sat there and I was like, normally I'm the happiest I can ever be when I'm in front of my decks and like playing music out, and like they just wanted up-to-date music, so I just played any like up-to-date music that I liked,
because
that was always my thing. If I didn't like it, I probably wouldn't play it.
Why would you though?
No, well, that's my point. And like, you know, and yeah, and I was like, nah, fucking, this is shit. What am I doing? And it was so much work. And even at the end, they like tried sneaking away without paying me.
Oh, really?
And I was like, what? This isn't fun anymore.
Yeah.
So I stopped doing it.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with having an interest in something, doing it for a bit, maybe like, oh, maybe I don't want to do this for a little while now, and then just going back into it anyway.
Yeah.
Because.
And I think that makes what you said then about the fact that, like, you know, what you'd like to be is your hobby to be your job.
Yeah.
But I think it's more important it not being your job.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, like, and that's why now I sit at home and I like might mess about with a few tracks and mash them together and stuff, and I'm happy as I've ever have been, like I was. And I think it's what it makes it again.
I think the most important thing to do is, as long as the thing that you're doing at that moment is the thing that you want to do.
Yeah.
Then that's all you can really ask for, as long as you're having fun with it and feel like, because I think a lot of things in terms of skills and using technology and things like that, is it being, it's a progression rather than it being a perfection?
No, exactly, yeah. Well, we've kind of vanished from technology for a bit and just talked massively about hobbies, which was quite good. So I think that maybe that could be a subject one day, you know.
It's fine.
We went somewhere with that.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah. But my next thing is going to be, where do you see technology in the future?
Okay.
Like, where do you...
So, this is the one.
All right, okay.
This is the one. I don't.
You don't? Oh, really?
No.
No, okay, cool. Gullible.
It's hard. I think it's about the hardest question you can kind of ask.
Because thank you very much.
Yep. Kudos to you. Just because it fluxes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's complete flux. So, what are you going
to say? Well, I was going to say, what can you... Because when I thought of the question... Because I didn't, like, as I said it, I was like, this is the biggest, most open question in the world. That's a podcast on its own. But, like, what can you see something, like a thing, like, for example, computers or mobiles in the future?
I think mostly what it's going to be is that it's definitely going in the line of it being integrated into the human body.
You reckon?
Yeah, for sure, definitely. They've already got, who's doing it? This is going to be a recurring thing, Matt Shaw moment.
Yeah.
We'll find out more information post again, but they were making eyeballs.
I've heard this. Yep. Heard it, yeah.
Tech eyeballs that you can, obviously, instead of needing your eye tests or glasses, things like that, you can just get a replacement eyeball.
Yeah.
And there'll be a socket that goes into your brain so that when there's an update, you can just take out your eye and just replace it with a new one. And I mean, this is something that's been really interesting, even from Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, the idea of like an amalgamation of human pieces making up another organism, and then along comes transplants and things like that.
Yeah.
And now that you can do 3D printing and you can make working lungs and kidneys and things like that.
Yeah.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think that's a very good point when you touched on like kind of medical science and the fact that I think technology is going to be one of the things that is going to change medical science.
I mean, it's what it's always been anyway.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly. And it's going to be massive what they could possibly do in maybe even a couple of years' time.
Yeah,
you know,
it's great because I mean the rate of which technology has advanced within the last 20 years is just like unfounded. Like,
yeah,
advances just crazy. There's some things, there's a chip that is the size of a grain of rice that you would be able to swallow and it would be able to identify any poisons.
Wow.
That are in your bloodstream or basically so you can check of like the contents of yourself. Because that's not something you can do at the moment, is it?
No, not exactly.
You
no.
can feel like if you feel crappy or whatever. Yeah. But being able to get, I think that's what technology is, because it's science, it's obvious saying that, but it's finding out like the exact reasons and how things are exactly made up, which I think we'll be able to find out of our body, because there's still, same thing with consciousness, right?
Yeah.
Being able to make AIs and things like that, you know, you think that consciousness is a construct of the brain, but more and more is being looked at, it's something else completely.
Yeah.
And we'll find out one day, but it might not be for the next 100 years or 1,000 years because it's complicated.
Yeah. No, exactly. And like I said, and when you said AI as well, like that instantly, I just think of Terminator.
Yeah.
And like Terminator 2.
Yeah. You know and 3.
And 3, well, yeah. And all the rest of that, you know. But yeah, I think, does AI scare you? Or are you interested by it?
That's a good question.
Because it freaks me out a little bit. I wouldn't say it necessarily scares me as such, but it does like the thing that, like, you know, thinking back at films like iRobot, for example, like is one I always remember because like he kind of had a conscience in a way, and but people didn't understand it.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one because I think it's scary because it. Your intelligence is what makes you human, right?
Yeah.
And so when you can replicate that into an artificial being,
yeah,
then that just makes us artificial beings or robots. You know, just we're just fleshy robots, right?
Yeah.
And so that's quite scary because, I mean, it goes against kind of how we feel, like we'd no longer be the most intelligent species. But then we're not anyway. We're pretty fucking stupid, as.
Yeah, like I'm a prime example of that one, to be honest.
Lovable one, though.
Yeah, oh, thanks, mate.
Lots of love, man. But that's a really good question. I mean, how do you feel? Does this scare the bejesus out of you? But it's exciting at the same time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's another way that humans can prove or want to prove that they can play God as well.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I think the thing that I think I'm more interested in it than anything. I don't think I'm scared of AI and like all this kind of like making robots more like human, basically. But the thing that I would find most interesting is us reacting to it. And I think people would be terrified of the control, like you say, like the fact that like, well, can you still shut it down? And like, you know, and I don't want to get too deep, but like it's like saying, well, why should you shut it down if it has a conscience, if it can? And this is, I'm not thinking basic AI, I mean, I'm on about like the full whack. Like you can't just shut that down, like, because it's like just saying, well, you can kill him because he's a bit of a psycho.
Yeah, but I don't think it's something that humans will ever fully create anyway. I think all the human body is a way to transmit that consciousness.
Yeah.
And so I think all we'll be able to make is it'll be really intelligent and it'll be absolutely amazing, but producing something that will like tap into a consciousness and then that just that
like
says
projects
it.
It
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
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 There's I'm going to use another film reference now. When it comes to robots, it's film reference. But it's like a film called Surrogates, I think, with Bruce Willis.
Good old Brucey. Yeah.
Brucey. But yeah, I can't actually remember the plot of the film now, but I remember them actually being like, because he actually had a kind of a robot that went out instead of him.
Yeah, because the world's really dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, so he sits in a chair and it's just him, his projection into his robot, whatever.
Yeah.
That might be wrong.
No, I think you're right with that. I think there's an Arnie film where they do that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not listen to me trying to think.
Okay.
But
cool.
I'll remember it in a bit.
Let's have a bit of uncomfortable silence for us. Do you know now?
I was really hoping I was going to think of it then. I think.
But yeah. But
twins.
Yeah. But yeah, so like I say, but like, do you think, like, because you were talking about like projection kind of into like kind of a robot, and do you reckon that could be a thing like surrogates kind of like instead, like having, do you reckon that's more likely to happen? Like, say, like you have a robot you that goes off and does your doings.
I suppose it's kind of already a bit like that anyway, isn't it? Because you have, it's the same way that you have a profile, that you have an internet presence anyway. So it's like the first inklings of that, really.
Ooh, like that.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's a... But then there's... I think science fiction is one of the things that either... Because it's very scary in science fiction, right?
100%, yeah.
And it's a fact of, like, it's questioning who we are. Same with The Matrix and things like that. But then... I think it's just, it's going to be our attitude towards it and what we then allow that to do.
Yeah.
That will then come into the fact that whether it's a good thing or a bad thing for us. I think if we let it become something, because I think a lot of the issues that we have now is as a people is just doing things blindly and not really caring.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if we're actually engaged with it and we're aware of the good things, the bad things, the constraints that it has, then I think it'll only be another way of us learning technology to sort of help us. I mean, war is a completely shitty thing anyway.
Mm.
But say if you just had machines doing it instead.
I think there's a film coming out soon about that. Is going it, back to movies again.
Is it just Terminator again?
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's I want to say Yappy or Lappy.
Oh, yeah.
Yappy.
Yeah, the one with Dev Patel and...
Diane Woods.
Diane Woods,
yeah.
Yeah, because
I think that's what that film is about. And I like the idea of that. But at the same time, you look at fucking RoboCop even. You know, that, like, you know, replacing the police officers with a robot, you know, and shit like that. And it went wrong.
But this is the thing, like, it's when you use it for those kind of purposes, of course it's going to go wrong.
Yeah, I'm starting to think of films like Fact now, aren't I?
Movies are fictional.
I remember that now, yeah. Okay, so ignore everything I've just said then for the last probably 20 minutes, because it was like based on my film knowledge.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because that's your other form of technology as well, because having books and, like, even storytelling is a form of technology. Being able to, same with what we were talking about earlier with the art idea of it, being able to express those ideas. And a lot of film stories, things like that, they're not just pulled purely out of fiction. They're always going to be based on some sort of idea or the idea of how the world is going to go. And I think that's why post-apocalyptic films are some of the most interesting, because it's a real look into the future of how our technology has affected us, and, like, how we as a species have done it to ourselves more often than not. Same with technology in terms of, so how do you feel about, like, GM crops? And because there was a point where I think the white bread in America, I think it was in the 50s, 40s or 50s, was so undernourished, so it had so lack of vitamins that they had to put vitamins back into it.
Really?
People getting so unhealthy.
I think this does ring a bell, actually, yeah.
Yeah, but that's playing God in a different way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in some ways it's great because then you have a high yield of crops or you know, yeah, of things to use.
Yeah.
To sustain us. But then also a lot of it, from my personal view, is you turn things into poison as well, like trying to feed people McDonald's, and then you end up just having technologically engineered food for everyone.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big issue in itself as well, because it's just people don't think as well, people don't act as well when they're being poisoned.
It's very true. I think that's another big topic, isn't
that's,
it?
Like, that's, yeah.
And I like that. This is one of those topics that you can literally go on for days.
It's a tangent topic, isn't it?
Yeah. But I do like that. I think we're coming to the end of the time now.
Good.
Okay. I see how it's gone now. Then no. On a whole,
yeah.
Technology, good or bad?
That's like a Brass Eye moment. You've seen Brass Eye, where it's like,
yeah.
Is this good science or bad science?
Yeah,
that's bad science. Bad science.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say undecided.
There we go. There's with the perfect answer, eh?
Do you know what that was?
Go on.
That was interesting.
And there we go. That was the end of the pilot of That Was Interesting. I hope you really enjoyed it. Like, I had so much fun making it, and that's the reason that I'm going to carry on doing these. But to make these better and more exciting for you guys, I want to get some feedback. I want to know what you think. I want to know if you want me to carry on doing them. I'm going to do it anyway, but I want to know. If you'd come right back with some feedback that's bad, you know, that's fine. If it's bad, tell me, but please tell me why it's bad so I can approve. Otherwise, you're just kind of shouting at me and I'm like, I don't know what to do with that. So yeah, let me know. So you can hit me up on Twitter at Craig Lambard. You can also get me on Instagram as well. I do suggest you check out the Instagram, just because there will be pictures of the podcast. There's already pictures up there from when we recorded this. So again, at Craig Lambard. And yeah, just, you know, let us know what you think. You know, blast as many as you like. You know, as long as it's going to help me, then I don't mind how many times you tell me. But yeah, so I'm not going to go on forever now. I think I'll leave it like that. But yeah, please let me know. And I'll see you next time. Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.